Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. And we're headed into a big weekend. IU football in Penn State this weekend. Indiana basketball back in action against Troy. Another early season game Indiana should win. Indiana needs to win handily. And obviously continue seeing some development and hopefully some better defense from this team, as their schedule will definitely take a small step up with Princeton and some of the other games in November before taking a huge step up in the month of December. We had our Zaxby's High School Basketball Media Day last night, a three-hour program. Lee Kelly and I had all 12 area basketball coaches with us, and a lot of the top players in the area joined their coaches last night. Learned a lot about the upcoming season. If you couldn't listen or didn't make it out to Zaxby's to support your favorite team in the area, the podcast is available on SoundCloud and on Apple Podcast as well. And we've got lots of content there, 3 hours of interviews talking about top players in the area, talking about goals of each team's, what style each team could look like this season. And, of course, an exciting year of basketball, I think we all agree, is set for this area. A number of teams in the area, whether it's Jeff in 4A, Silver Creek in 3A, Christian Academy in 1A, that are front runners, maybe not even just locally in those respective classes, but maybe even on a statewide level as well. I think it's great individual players also. We always talk about the number of college prospects and the number of kids right now that are signed or committed or being recruited by Division I programs. Just a number of really good players right now, not only in our state, but in Southern Indiana and really in our immediate area in Clark and Floyd counties as well. So check that out if you didn't. A lot of fun to host that. Thank you to all of the coaches that make it work. It's such a busy week with tryouts and practices and getting ready for scrimmage games and, of course, in the official start of regular season games. But we've always been able to fit this show in, and we've always got perfect attendance for the show, and greatly appreciate the cooperation of everybody last night. Of course, the News and Tribune, they partner with us on the program. We just want to get as much exposure for the kids and the teams as we can leading up to the season. And, of course, Zaxby's, one of our sponsors on this program that helps make our Media Day shows possible. We had football Media Day out there back in August. We had basketball, boys basketball, last night. We'll be doing a baseball Media Day show when it gets to the springtime to preview that season as well. So lots of local coverage, getting lots of coaches, lots of kids on the air, all made possible by a lot of people, including Zaxby's, the sponsor of the program. Let's take a look at the show lineup today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. On the show in segment one, we'll start here in just a few moments with our Zaxby's headlines. We'll take a look at IU Penn State in football tomorrow. We'll talk about IU and Troy in basketball tomorrow. Floyd Central tonight in high school football, a game that we'll have on the Big X. The Highlanders are at Bloomington South in a one-game Class 5A regional. So Floyd Central trying to move on in the state tournament. They've got an opportunity, I think, to do so against Bloomington South tonight. Very competitive game is what I expect, and we'll talk more about that coming up here in just a bit as well. And also, Jeffersonville's Trey Coleman, who's going to join us later in the show, He made his college decision yesterday. We'll tell you more about that coming up here in just a few moments. Segment two, I'll be joined by Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We always talk IU basketball in segment two. Jared and I will dig into IU and the defensive woes. Lots of talk about it this week. That's really been the overriding thing, the overriding negative, I think you could say, with this Indiana team at this early point of the season. And with Jared, we'll talk about how concerned should Indiana fans be about the defense at this early point of the season. And, of course, it is concerning because lack of intensity at times, teams getting open shots, especially the other night. The team started 6-7 from outside, lots of uncontested shots. What would that look like against a December opponent, whether it be a Florida State or whether it be a Big Ten team or Notre Dame or one of the many big games that Indiana has in the month of December? Now is the time to figure that stuff out, and we'll talk with Jared a little bit about that. Also, the return of Devontae Green, whenever that does happen. Obviously, he's going to be a big lift for this Indiana team. Really has been pointed to as the potential leading scoring option for this team, and they've played without him so far to start the year. We'll talk with Jared about what kind of lift Devontae Green will be for this team and how he could maybe help some of the early season woes this team has seen. But Indiana's winning, and they've won most of these games except Portland State fairly handily. There have been some challenging moments in the first half when the game has been a lot closer than probably what you'd like to see. But Indiana, for the most part, again, except for Portland State, has been able to come out in the second half and change the narratives of those games. And I'm going to be interested not just against Troy, but against Princeton and against Louisiana Tech. Those two teams especially, I think, will provide the biggest challenges of the month. And that those are the next games. After Troy, it's Princeton followed by Louisiana Tech. So Indiana getting opportunities to figure things out. We'll talk more about all of that and some recruiting stuff with Jared Morris when he's with us later in the program today. And then segment three, Trey Coleman, who made his college decision yesterday. He'll join us from Jeffersonville to talk about his decision and to talk about the upcoming season. Trey is just a number, one of many players at Jeff right now with lots of talent, Division I caliber talent, and, of course, the Red Devils are gearing up for a very big season. So we'll talk about that coming up here in just a bit. That is the show lineup. It's a service of Honey-Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch that'll be made to order for you at Honey-Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can interact with the show, submit a question, submit a comment, plenty of ways to follow what we're doing and maybe to get your question or comment read on the air. You can follow me on Twitter at Hoosier Hills. Again, at Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can tweet me or send me a direct message there. Also on Facebook, the show has a page, the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can search for that. You can like that. You can leave us a message there as well, and maybe your question or comment will get read today, used today for our guests that are coming up here later in the program. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Lots to get to, and IU-Penn State is such a big game for this team. I'm not sure that even with the success of IU football that fans or anyone necessarily expects Indiana to go to Penn State and to win this game, but what a boost it would be if they could, whether it be Penn State tomorrow or Michigan next week, beat one of the Big Ten's, you know, perennial powers, somebody on the next level, that top level of conference play. And so Penn State obviously coming off a loss makes you wonder how they will respond to that. But Indiana has been very solid. And, of course, they'll have to go to Penn State without Michael Penix, who is now out for the season. But I don't sense a lot of concern or a lot of panic. I think people disappointed that Penix, with some of the good things that he can do, won't be around the rest of the season, won't be the starter the rest of the season, won't get a chance to play in a bowl game for Indiana. But there's not a lot of panic because Peyton Ramsey has stepped in already many times this season for Indiana and filled a very big role for the team. So Indiana at Penn State, again, I'm not sure that anybody expects Indiana to win it, especially at Penn State. Is it possible, perhaps, with the way Indiana's been playing? Penn State not itself last week against Minnesota. We'll see how they bounce back. But to me, most importantly, and I've said all along this Indiana team would win seven games, and eight's a possibility. If they're going to get to eight, they're likely not going to get it tomorrow at Penn State. But to me, if they can play close, if they can keep it interesting in the first half for the first three quarters and make the final score respectable and not find themselves in a blowout game when the final horn sounds at Penn State, to me, that is a victory. And I know some people, they want to win. They don't care about anything else. But to me, that would be a victory for Indiana as they come back to home next Saturday. And if I had to pick a win over a top-tier team, Penn State or Michigan, I think because it's at home, and I just think Michigan's much more of a possibility. Still may be a little bit of a stretch for this team with where the program is at. But these next 2 weeks, to be competitive, to have some good moments, to execute against top-tier teams in the Big Ten Conference in football, I think is big for this IU football program. And then, of course, they've got to finish out the season strong at Purdue. No question about that. That has to be a win for this Indiana team, given the injuries that Purdue has, given the type of season that this has been. You would look for that to be definite win number 8. I think everybody agrees that needs to be a win for Indiana for multiple reasons before they head to a bowl game. But I do think 8's likely and 9 is possible if Indiana can steal one of these upsets. And I think we look more realistically at the Michigan home game, not obviously not tomorrow, but the following Saturday. Other headlines today brought to you by Zaxby's. Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville, he made his college decision yesterday in a ceremony at Jeffersonville High School with his teammates and family and friends. Coach Chris Moore, obviously there. Coach Luce, I saw Coach Joe Luce in attendance, the former Jeffersonville coach, back for the announcement by Trey Coleman. Trey announced that he's going to pick Nevada, play for Steve Alford at the Division I level, going out west to play college basketball. And Trey's going to join us a little bit later in the program to talk about things that stood out to him, why he picked Nevada, what his role there could be, and he'll join us in the final segment today. But Trey had a number of schools interested in him, a lot of Midwestern schools. Indiana State is one that comes to mind that was very interested in Trey Coleman. He had other mid-majors throughout the state and the area that had offered scholarships and tracked him for a few years now, but wanted to do something different and liked the fit at Nevada, and we'll talk with him about that coming up a little bit later. Also yesterday, during that same ceremony at Jeffersonville, Jacob Jones signed with the University of Wisconsin Green Bay, another Division I senior on the Jeffersonville roster this season. Jacob had previously committed to Green Bay, so no suspense about what school he would be signing with yesterday, but he did make his announcement formal at Jeff High School with that national letter of intent yesterday. Floyd Central and Bloomington South in football tonight. This Bloomington South team, 7-4 on the year. Floyd Central 9-2 after winning the sectional over Jeffersonville last week. The Highlanders are the only school left of the 8 we have in the area. They are the only football-playing school left in the tournament that won the sectional round and is on to the regional. And tonight they will go on the road at Bloomington South to take on a Bloomington South football program that really year in and year out is one of the predominant programs in the southern half of the state. A great tradition there. Looking at the capsule in the News and Tribune today, Floyd Central, no regional championships. Bloomington South, they have 10 regional championships. So this obviously has been a familiar stop for the Bloomington South program, with their last championship coming in the year of 2016. But for Floyd Central, a very well-rounded team. Winkers Wright has run for 2,000 or so yards this season, 21 touchdowns. Tristan Polk, the quarterback, has thrown for 1,400-plus yards and 12 touchdowns this season. Senior wide receiver Landon DeWeese, he tops the team with 38 receptions, and a number of other players that have stepped up all year long to make this Floyd Central team very solid. I don't think there's any surprise to anyone that has followed football closely in the area this year that the Highlanders are the only team left still playing, and that I think they have a great chance tonight to compete for a regional championship, even though it's on the road tonight at Bloomington South. We'll have play-by-play of that contest, kickoff in that game, 7 o'clock tonight, and Justin Kalen will be on the air a little before 7 with pregame coverage here on the Big X Sports Radio. I also wanted to mention that Juwan Morgan in the G League earlier this week, I think it was Wednesday night, 17 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block, playing for Salt Lake City, the Utah Jazz's G League affiliate. And again, good to see him getting not just minutes there, but working into a key role with that team. A big double-double performance with 17 points and 11 rebounds. Could he make his way back to the Jazz? Could he become a two-way player for the Jazz at some point? You just never know with injuries and spots that could open up, but it is good to see him in the G League level playing strong for this Salt Lake City team. That's going to wrap up our headlines brought to you each day by Zaxby's. Don't forget that Zaxby's does catering, party-sized platters of your favorite appetizers, entrees, and sides. And I tell you what, a lot of the top players from across the area, they were enjoying the spread at Zaxby's last night for our high school media day program. We'll head to a commercial break. Jared Morris is next. This is the Hoosier Report presented by CC Power Sports.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on Friday's show. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call with us as we talk IU basketball. And Jared, I want to start today with a couple topics that you guys discussed most recently in Assembly Call Radio, and that is how concerned should Indiana fans be about Indiana's defensive performances so far this season? We've talked about this throughout the week, and I know that these games are against mid to low level Division I teams. So again, you're probably not getting a true read of this Indiana team. There also are some injuries. Devontae Green still out. Looks like he's going to continue to be out for maybe a little bit longer. Rob Fennessy back, but not really that healthy, not to full health for sure. So I try to keep all those things in mind when I think about Indiana's defense and when I think about maybe problems that could exist against bigger, better teams in December. But how concerned should we be in your opinion?
I mean, I think it's fair to be concerned. You know, the coach himself is concerned. And I think, you know, we've seen some fairly consistent deficiencies, you know, across the last few games. Indiana struggling to defend ball screens, you know, really just struggling in general with their perimeter defense. You know, the transition defense has been a little spotty. So I think it's definitely fair to be concerned. I wouldn't be overly concerned because I think, you know, you alluded to some of the, you know, the things that are kind of out of the team's control, you know, injuries and, you know, some of those things. I think having a fully healthy Rob Fennessy who can play, you know, 32 to 34 minutes of his high-level defense, getting Devontae Green back, who is an underrated defender for the things that Indiana is really struggling in, which is ball screen defense and isolation defense. He's really good at that. So that'll help. And then you can get, you know, Al Durham back playing in a position that he's, you know, more equipped to handle defensively because he's really struggled, you know, guarding in some of the positions that he's been in. And then I think just getting some of the young guys more and more experience in the pack line, you know, is going to help. So I'm concerned because I thought it was going to be better. And, you know, especially against the competition level that Indiana has played, there have been some stretches of defense where it's just like, what are we doing here? You know, and again, I think Archie's expressions during the games and the things he said in the postgame, he has clearly felt the same way. But let's get through November. Let's get the full roster, you know, healthy. Let's see how some of these young guys come along. You know, and you know, what's already happened these first few games, you know, may hold Indiana's metrics back for a while. But I think as the season goes on, the team's going to get better defensively, and there's a lot of reasons to believe that.
Jared Morris, the Assembly Call, with us on Friday's IU basketball. The topic, Indiana's opponents have been far from the sexy opponents that we've seen some Big Ten teams playing this time of year, but this is what this Indiana team needs. I think we all agree, the chance to work on things, especially with injuries and some new roles for returning players and then new guys as well to gear up for the month of December. I keep looking at things, and I know things might get a little tougher for this Indiana team through the end of November, but I keep looking at things, and my goodness, this schedule is going to completely change and completely ramp up in the month of December.
Oh, yeah. It's like night and day. You know, now, you know, I think the way that it's structured is nice because you have these four games to start it, you know, which are all kind of sub-250 teams. It's the kind of game where you can probably, you know, you're talented enough at Indiana that you can bring a C game and win by 10 points, you know, 15 points, you know, which is, kind of what they did in the first half against North Alabama. You know, they really didn't play well at all. We're still up by 7 at the half, you know, because they shot the ball well. But, it, you know, after this game against Troy this weekend, it does start to ramp up. You know, Princeton is a little better, and Louisiana Tech is the best of these teams they're facing in November. That's a, you know, a team that's in the top 100 in KenPom. And then, you know, South Dakota State is a program that's been pretty good. Obviously, they lost Mike Dom, so they're not as good as they have been. But still, you know, more solid than what we've seen. So it will ramp up, and that will help to get Indiana prepared for December, because then, as has been talked about a lot, once December hits, like, it's on. And Indiana doesn't have much margin for error. You know, Florida State, UConn, Notre Dame, Arkansas, and you really got to win probably at least 3 of those games to really feel good about the resume that you put together in the non-conference. And a lot of times, you know, you see some, you know, some get-right games or a nice tasty cupcake around Christmas or the Christmas break. You don't have that. So there are not going to be any of those games now. And I think, you know, if you can get everybody healthy, you get Devontae Green back, and you build the right kind of momentum and the right kind of habits through these last couple weeks of November, Indiana can be ready for that in December, and it's going to be fine. You know, but, you know, where I get worried is if any of these injuries linger and if any of these bad habits linger in, you know, the consequences are going to come quickly. And so, you know, that's why I think these next few games, you know, as you said, you know, these first 3 opponents aren't really, you know, aren't really sexy. You know, Troy is not going to be turning anybody on Saturday night. But there's still a lot to watch for and a lot to look out for in terms of how prepared this team is going to be for what faces them in December.
Yeah, no question about it. Let's look at some of the upcoming games for Indiana. It starts Saturday. You mentioned Troy on Saturday evening, then Princeton, then Louisiana Tech, and obviously Princeton, you expect to come in and be a bit more of a challenge for Indiana. And I've heard good things about Louisiana Tech as well. And then Indiana finishes the month of November with South Dakota State before, as already discussed, the schedule really, really changes, obviously, in December. You've got some huge non-conference games, starting with Florida State. You've got Big Ten games, early Big Ten games with Wisconsin, Nebraska, and many other games, obviously, I know that IU fans are very excited about. Walk us through the rest of this month. I know that you're not experts on Troy or Princeton or Louisiana Tech, but it does appear from what I've seen, what I've read, that the competition's going to get a little better for this Indiana team here the rest of the way.
Yeah, it is. You know, again, I mean, I think that the game tomorrow night against Troy is going to be a similar level to what they've seen the first 3 games. And then it ramps up. And that's where, you know, Indiana is going to have to play well to beat these teams, even at home. But, you know, again, you know, I don't know the particulars of any of these teams. You know, I'll look at them before the game to kind of understand what they do and what their strengths and weaknesses are. But, you know, this month is about Indiana working on itself and developing its habits and, you know, figuring out what lineup rotations work and getting guys healthy. And that's the most important thing. And so, you know, that's, you know, more than matchups and that kind of thing, that's what's really important to watch for over these next few weeks. And if Indiana can, you know, get into a rhythm and get better habits on defense, and Archie Miller really starts to understand what lineups he trusts and what lineups he doesn't, that's going to be big, you know, when Florida State comes to town. You know, and that's the thing about the December schedule. I mean, you know, we talk about, you know, this December schedule like it's some kind of crazy gauntlet. And it is, obviously the competition is much better in comparison to what we play in November. But all of these games also that Indiana is playing, they're very winnable. You know, these are good teams, but they're not great teams. You know, Indiana's not playing, you know, Duke or North Carolina or, you know, Evansville, for heaven's sakes. you know, they're, you know, so all these games are going to be winnable. But, you know, they're teams that are kind of at Indiana's level. And so I think it's about seeing consistency, you know, seeing Indiana build that confidence and seeing guys kind of fall into the roles that they're going to have in the more meaningful games. And so those, again, are some of the things to watch for in these games where I think it's fair to take for granted that Indiana will win these games. But, you know, as you know, a team like Louisiana Tech, I mean, Indiana's going to have to play well to win that game. So that'll also be, I think, a good challenge and good experience, you know, before the competition gets.
Yeah, no question. Jared Morris, Assembly Call, our guest. Jared, everybody excited about the potential return of Devontae Green, and by no means do I expect that necessarily to be Saturday, but Archie Miller did talk about it some in the post-game press conference earlier this week after Indiana's last game. hamstring injuries can be tough. You can be better one day, fine one day, and back to being on the mend the next day. But when he does return, and it does sound like a return will happen sometime reasonably soon. And again, I have no idea when that is, what game that is, but I would expect at some point this month, at some point in the next few games, when he does return, the Devontae Green, I know we've discussed this, the good Devontae and the bad Devontae, based on some of his really good performances last year and some of his other not-so-good performances last year. I think everybody knows this year Indiana needs good Devontae and needs good Devontae pretty regularly, especially if he's going to be a big scorer for this team. But in addition to just scoring, which I think is an obvious with him, how could his presence, how could him returning to the lineup once he is fully healthy, help this team this year?
Well, there are some very specific ways, and I think it is really easy, you know, while Indiana's kind of going on these offensive binges in some of these early games, to forget about the importance, the unique importance that Devontae has for this roster, because I think he's also a guy whose defense in certain areas is underrated. And so when you look at what he's going to bring back to the table, you know, we'll start on the offensive end. We know about the shooting. And, you know, that's big. I mean, he is Indiana's best three-point shooter in terms of percentage of all the guys left. And he's a guy most comfortable shooting at a high volume. And so that's obviously going to be important to have another shooter who can space the floor. But really, to me, the most important element that he's going to bring to the offense that simply hasn't been needed, so we haven't noticed that he's been missing, is his isolation offense. You know, this is not a roster right now that has guys who succeed in isolation situations. And Indiana's only played 2% of their possessions in isolation and offense. And a good defense, you know, you look at the Texas Techs and the Virginias and the Michigans of the world last year, defensively, they were putting opposing offenses in isolation situations 9-10% of the time. Because isolation is tough. A lot of college teams don't have the singular offensive talents to succeed in those situations. And the defenses Indiana's been playing haven't been good enough to put them in those situations. Well, Devontae last year was more efficient in isolation situations as a scorer than Romeo and Juwan, according to the numbers at Synergy. That's big in that, you know, when Indiana gets in those situations, late clock situations, need someone to go get a shot, Devontae's the guy to do that. I think Jerome Hunter has some of that ability in him, and there are other ways to manufacture shots. But sometimes you need a guy to go get one, and Devontae is going to be the best at doing that. Indiana just hasn't needed that yet. So those two ways offensively, he provides you with something that no one else really does, and that's going to be really important when the games get tougher. On the defensive end, it is easy sometimes to see Devontae recovering late in help situations and maybe getting lost, you know, running around a screen. And those are deficiencies that he has. But when you look at what Indiana struggled with defensively that we talked about earlier, defending pick and rolls, Devontae Green, along with Rob Phinisee, they were the two best pick and roll defenders last year. And Devontae was really good at it. So that's really going to be important. And again, in isolation defensive situations, on the perimeter, he's really good at containing guys. You know, he is a much better kind of one-on-one defender. I'm going to go lock you down than he is as a help defender. And he's got to get better at that. But you can help kind of mask that a little bit. But in the pack line, if your perimeter defenders are just like a turnstile, letting guys drive into the lane, it really messes up the entire defense. And so when you have Rob and Devontae out there, healthy, playing well to their strengths, which is really, you know, containing dribblers on the perimeter, that's going to change the complexion of the defense. So, you know, I think when you look at the stats that Indiana hasn't needed offensively and that they've struggled with defensively, Devontae is like this puzzle piece that just fits right in to help alleviate some of those issues. So, you know, it's going to be really nice to see him get back whenever that is, because I just think, you know, he kind of completes the puzzle that this roster is going to need to overcome maybe a lack of individual star power to be a collective whole that's better than the sum of its parts.
We're talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. A little recruiting stuff, Jared, as we switch gears here. Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway, officially Hoosiers earlier this week. They signed their national letter of intents at their respective high schools. Jordan Geronimo, I believe, has done that as well. So the committed guys are official now for Indiana. And there's still some missing pieces, perhaps, in the 2020 class. One of them's a big one in Dawson Garcia. And outside of him, I really couldn't tell you many names that Indiana is in with and who's still available. And again, we know how college basketball works. Changes can happen, additions can happen all the time, even late in the game in the recruiting process when you don't expect it. But, you know, going back, this is something that in the offseason we talked about a lot more than what we do now. Going back to Galloway and Leal and Geronimo and maybe the potential of Garcia, talk about the 2020 class as it stands right now for Indiana and how you see these guys potentially fitting in next year now that Indiana this year has played a few games and we've kind of got some read for where this team is headed or where they could be.
Yeah, I'm really encouraged by this recruiting class. And obviously, if you get Dawson Garcia, that would be the cherry on top and would be huge, because I think he's the one of the four that projects as a real instant impact guy next year. So we'll have to see. Hopefully Dawson makes the right decision, which is obviously to come to Indiana. I think if he doesn't, you know, I think Archie and the staff, they're going to want a guy who can impact the team next year. And they've proven that they're not just going to offer out a scholarship to somebody just to fill it. So I would really expect them to wait for maybe a transfer that they think they can get a waiver on to play next year, wait for a grad transfer, just to be really patient. So I would not panic at all if Dawson Garcia says no, and it's like, well, there's no real 2020 hot board left to look at now. It's just something to be patient on. I think that would actually be the right approach. In terms of the three guys who are coming, you know, it's interesting because they're all, you know, kind of a similar size, you know, wing-type guys in Trey Galloway, Anthony Leal, and Jordan Geronimo, but they all bring different skills. You know, Anthony Leal, really known as a shooter, obviously, you know, a tough defender. I think, you know, because of his shooting, he's a guy who could contribute right away. But I think he also probably more than likely projects as a guy who's going to need a year or two of development. Geronimo is a terrific athlete that, you know, who's had his recruiting profile really grow as he's developed. And so it's kind of tough to project him because it feels like he's had such a rapid rise. Let's see what he does this year. You know, but with that kind of athleticism, especially if he shoots like he did over the summer, you know, that's a guy who could come in and provide instant impact. But, you know, it's also going to be a little bit crowded at the position he plays when you have guys like Justin Smith and Jerome Hunter. And Trey Galloway, to me, is really the most intriguing guy from a what can he do next year, because Indiana's going to be losing Devontae Green. You know, so when you look at, you know, the backcourt in terms of guys who can handle the ball and be playmakers, you're going to have Rob back, you know, you're going to have Al back, you know, assuming none of these guys are bulls or going pro early, and you're going to have Armand back. And that's kind of it. And so, again, you know, you run into a situation like Indiana has this year where, okay, you know, we've got these three ball handlers. Who else can do it? And Trey is a guy who, you know, he may not blow you away with a first step, you know, has playmaking ability, is a smart, savvy player, is a good ball handler, is a good passer, and is just a mature, tough kid who I would not be surprised to see really take on a prominent role as a freshman. And again, you know, we have to see how he develops. But he's the one, because of the skill set he brings and what the roster looks like it will need, he's the one that I think could and probably will need to contribute early, because Indiana's just going to need to get playmakers. I mean, they tried to recruit some point guards, and it didn't happen for the class of 2020. And I think we all feel comfortable with, you know, with Rob as the lead point guard and Val, you know, as a scorer, especially with what he's shown so far. But you're going to need some depth there. And I think Trey, of those three guys, projects as the one who could really step in and fill that role.
Jared Morris, the Assembly Call, my guest. Speaking of recruiting, as the college basketball season gets here, and I'm going to close with that in just a second. You've already mentioned Evansville, and you know I'm going to bring them up here in a few minutes. But as we get the college season underway, high school basketball begins, and of course, from an IU perspective, a number of underclassmen in our state right now that IU coaches are aware of are recruiting. And there are some big names, obviously, considering Indiana. I know that you'll probably start this answer with point guard, but as you look at this Indiana team, and you did a great job summarizing the 2020 class as it stands right now, at least with Leal, Geronimo, and Galloway, but what positions do you feel like Indiana really needs to focus on in the 2021 classes and below, as we think about Christian Lander and Trey Kaufman, some of the big names even from right here in Southern Indiana that Indiana has been recruiting now for some time?
Well, they need Christian Lander and Trey Kaufman. They need a playmaking ball handler, and they need versatile bigs. I mean, that's, you know, and you know, a guy like Dawson Garcia fits right into that. You know, I think you look at the front court for next year, and it's not killer if you lose Dawson Garcia, because, you know, I think we all expect that Trace, as good as he's looked and as talented as he is, you know, his game doesn't translate to the NBA right now. So I would expect that he'll be back next year. And so you're going to have a lot to work with, you know, with Joey Brown back for another year, Trace, Race, you know, Jerome is a guy who might, you know, play some four in smaller lineups. Denise Anderson, to me, is a guy who's going to have to play four, because that's where he can actually defend. And his shooting from that position could be valuable. So I think you've got some options in the front court. But that's, you know, as we look at, you know, what Archie's system seems to need to succeed and what, you know, we're going to need for the pack line defense to be as good as it can be, you know, you've got to have guys who can pressure the ball and also create plays on the perimeter. And then you need some versatile defenders, you know. So that's why, you know, this class is so important, because you've got guys like Christian Lander in it, Caleb Truce, Trey Kaufman. You know, these are all guys that profile to fit exactly what Indiana needs. And it's encouraging, because Archie's done a good job so far of, you know, bringing guys from the state in. And so I think this is a really important class to capitalize on. And I know Blake Wesley is taking an official visit this weekend. He's a guy I really like, you know, just in terms of how he's developed. And you know, again, he's a, you know, more of a wing type, but he projects as a scorer. And that's the other thing Indiana needs is, you know, again, guys who can just go get a bucket and have that athletic ability and have some upside. And they've got some of those with some of the wings that they've developed. But, you know, if you can find another one of those guys in state, obviously you would take them. So, you know, I think those guys are the priority, obviously, with what's coming up. And as many of them as you can land, you know, they all profile to really fit well, both with what Archie wants to do and with what the roster's going to need.
Jared Morris, Assembly Call, with us Fridays as we talk IU basketball. Crazy week of college basketball, and of course, IU fans have enjoyed Evansville's win over Kentucky at Rupp Arena, which was crazy, was amazing. It just reminds you what college basketball is and how fun it can be to follow, and that upsets are always possible. But didn't expect to see Kentucky lose to Evansville. And there have been some other Big Ten results this week. Some have been encouraging, I think, for the conference, and others maybe not so much here since the season has begun, that you wonder what's going on there. But college basketball this week has been crazy. And the Big Ten conference, I think, so far this season, a good way to classify it, is interesting so far.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Ohio State obviously gets the huge win over Villanova. I mean, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. Michigan State held on last night against Seton Hall. And those are, you know, those are good results for the conference. I mean, we want those teams to do well. You know, it was, you know, Purdue obviously jumped out to the big lead on Marquette and ended up losing. And, you know, you kind of have to hold your nose, you know, to root for Purdue. But, you know, from a conference perspective, as much joy as you take in a Purdue losing, kind of would have been nice to see them win that game, because it just helps the overall conference. So when Indiana plays Purdue and beats them later this season, which will happen, you know, it would make that victory more valuable if Purdue has done better in the non-conference. So it's, you know, it's one of those things you kind of feel a little conflict of interest sometimes when you, you know, you watch your hated conference rivals and are used to cheering against them. But the way that college basketball works these days, the way the NCAA tournament selection process works, and, you know, where Indiana projects to be, which is, I mean, hopefully we're a slam dunk NCAA tournament team. But even if we are, then you're talking about, okay, what seed line is Indiana going to be on? So, you know, no matter what, the power of your conference really helps. And so after a rough very first week, it was nice to see the Big Ten get off to a pretty good start in the Gavitt games with Michigan, Ohio State, you know, Michigan State getting wins, Northwestern bouncing back from a really bad performance to beat Providence. So, you know, hopefully the conference can get as many wins as possible, and then, you know, let's all go beat up on each other once January hits.
Absolutely. Jared Morris with the Assembly Call. Jared, as always, thanks for the great IU basketball insight, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Have a good weekend. Go Hoosiers. Beat Penn State.
For sure. Jared Morris, Assembly Call, with us Fridays. The Hoosier Report is presented by CC Power Sports. Every child's dream is a new dirt bike for Christmas at CC Power Sports. They're helping make that dream easier with free Christmas layaway and storage now through Christmas. Simply put down a deposit and pay as you wish until December 21st. CC Power Sports will even store your purchase to keep the dreams of Christmas alive and the bike out of sight. You can visit ccpowersports.com
to learn more about this Christmas special. We'll head to a break. When we come back, Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville, one of the big seniors in the area, gearing up for the high school basketball season. He made a college decision yesterday. The Red Devil is going to play college basketball out west at Nevada for former IU Hoosier Steve Alford. We'll talk with Trey about his decision, a little bit about Coach Alford, and a lot more about the upcoming season coming up next right here on a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday program. One of the great things is seeing a number of players we have in this area commit to play basketball at the next level. And as we always talk on this program, it's not just college basketball. We have a number of Division I level players right now that have either decided where they're going to play or some younger players that might just be beginning the recruiting process. But we are in the middle of a really, really good time in Southern Indiana basketball. One of those players that is going to play Division I basketball, Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville, who made his decision yesterday in an announcement at Jeffersonville High School that he will attend Nevada and play for Coach Steve Alford once his career as a Red Devil comes to a close later this year. Trey is with us today on the program. First off, Trey, congratulations on your decision, your commitment to Nevada.
Thank you.
Let's talk about your choice. Obviously, it's interesting because you're willing to go across the country. It's interesting because Steve Alford, a former Indiana player, someone from our state, is leading that program now with big plans there. And you had a lot of teams in the area that recruited you, a lot of Midwestern teams also. What about Nevada stood out when you came time, when it came time to make this decision, when you sat down with your coaches and family? What were some of the things about the school, about the program, maybe about Coach Alford that made you say, hey, this is where I want to go?
Well, before I even started my recruiting process, I always wanted to see and visit schools out west because I felt like that's really where I belong and, like, where I would like to be. So once Nevada got into the mix, I set up a visit right away because I wanted to see what they were about. And once I went up there, I just, from the start, I felt the family atmosphere, and felt like that was the best fit for me and the way they play, getting up and down and transition.
Trey Coleman joining me to talk about his college commitment. What was it like dealing with Coach Alford, the head coach there? And I know we talked some about this when you joined me last night on our preview show, but did you understand or do you understand from maybe your coaches and family what a player he was in his own regard in Indiana and at IU also? Was it neat to talk with him, and did you understand his background as a player and a former coach in the area?
Yeah, of course. Like I said last night, a lot of their coaching staff has ties around this area, so they really know where I'm coming from and understand me, I feel like. And Steve Alford being who he is in Indiana, the Indiana great, is just a bonus.
Trey Coleman joining me as he made his decision yesterday at Jeffersonville. What are they telling you as far as when you get to Nevada, your role, your position, how maybe even as a freshman you'll be able to contribute to the program?
Well, once I get there, I'll have an opportunity to make an immediate impact. The rest will be on me, how hard I work. But really just they see me playing the two or three, getting up and down the floor on the wing, penetrating the ball, doing stuff like that.
Trey, I know that you've put just an extraordinary amount of time and effort into becoming a big-time basketball player, and we're going to talk about your senior year here in just a moment and Jeffersonville's opportunity to be one of the class teams in the state this year. But how did it feel yesterday with your family, friends, coaches, teammates, and other classmates there to make this decision, knowing all the work, all the years that you've put into all this, all the traveling, all the off-season, all the sweating in a gymnasium, even in the summer when no fans or crowd or other team is there. Well, what was the feeling like to announce that decision of Nevada yesterday and then follow that up by signing that national letter of intent paperwork?
it felt great, just like a weight off your shoulders. As a kid, you dream about it all the time, and you want it. So ever since I was a kid, I've just been working on it, been working on my game more and more, and to improve, to every summer improving one part of my game. And I feel like yesterday was just, I really felt all the love from my families and friends and teachers and coaches that were there, and it was just great for me.
Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville joining us on a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report. He made his college choice yesterday, signed the national letter of intent as well, and it is now official that he will play college basketball for Steve Alford at Nevada after his senior year at Jeffersonville. Let's talk about your senior year. And again, we got a quick opportunity last night to chat with you some about Jeffersonville this season on our preview show. But big things, not just for you, but for this team expected here in the 2019-2020 high school season. As practices now are officially underway and games are coming up here in just a few weeks or less, what are your feelings on this Jeff team? I know you guys have an opportunity to be really special.
Yeah, as you said, I feel like we have an opportunity to be really, really special. Coming off a sectional win and a tough regional loss last year, I feel like we have a chip on our shoulder to get better every day and in the gym and really on and off the court, mentally getting better, locking down, just playing our game.
Trey, there's a lot of talent on this Jeffersonville roster right now. You are one of a handful of players that will go on to play Division I college basketball. Practices must be intense. Practices must be very competitive, especially in the preseason, and now that the early part of the regular season practices have begun. I've got to believe that with all the talent in that gym, you guys really go after it.
Yeah, we really go after it every day, head to head. Me and Will, you know, Devin Franklin, Darren Starks, Jacob, we all go at it head to head. We're usually never on each other's teams, so we really just push each other every day to get better. Yeah, we just push each other to get better because, like, we really want it.
Trey Coleman of Jeff, our guest. Trey, another question I think that people have when they think about Jeffersonville for the upcoming season, obviously, is you've got a new head coach, Chris Moore, who is an experienced guy that takes over the team here in recent months. How has that transition went from a player's perspective? How have you and the other seniors and the other teammates gotten acclimated with him and maybe his expectations, which could be different from previous coaches you've had?
Right. I mean, of course, it's going to be a big speed bump in the road for us because we've been used to, you know, of course, Luce being our coach for 3 years. So it's been a bump, but we're getting used to it every day, getting better every day. And I think being us having the experience we have, I think it'll just be good for us.
Talking with Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville about his college decision to Nevada yesterday and about the upcoming season as well. One of the things about this Jeff team, we've talked about your talent and how good this team could be, but you guys are really going to take on a very tough schedule, and by the time the end of the season gets here, you and your teammates are going to be very well tested as you head into the postseason, which seems like forever from now, but it will be here before you know it. Are you guys excited about some of these new challenges and tough teams and going to Cincinnati and playing some of the best teams in Indiana this season? That has to add some excitement to what's already an exciting upcoming year.
Yeah, for sure. Like, every game is going to be a battle. We're not going to go into any game thinking we're going to beat this team by 40 or something. Every team's going to give us their best because of who we are, and I think we're ready for it. We compete every day in practice, getting prepared for every team's best.
Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville. Trey, congratulations on your decision yesterday. Big stuff. He'll play college basketball at Nevada, and we appreciate the time to catch up with you today about your decision.
Thank you.
All right, Trey Coleman, again, another player from the area headed to the Division I ranks to play college basketball. Big stuff. Other players, Jacob Jones yesterday, he signed his letter of intent with Wisconsin Green Bay. And, of course, when you look through the junior and sophomore class specifically right now here in our area, we have a number of really talented players that are already being recruited by Division I coaches, and they'll have their opportunity, I'm sure, in the near future to make decisions and eventually sign national letter of intents with Division I schools. That's going to wrap things up for this Friday program. Don't forget, coming up tonight, we have Floyd Central football on the Big X. The Highlanders are the last school in the area that are still alive playing postseason football, and Floyd Central tonight plays at Bloomington South. It's a one-game regional, and if they can find a way to muster a victory tonight, they'll move on to a semi-state game next week and would really enter the Final Four in high school football in Class 5A. We'll have that game for you coming up just before 7 o'clock tonight. Of course, IU basketball over the weekend as well on the Big X. And then I'm back on Monday for the Hoosier Report at 11 o'clock. Have a great weekend. Matt Dennison here. I'll talk with you next week on the Hoosier Report on the Big X Sports Radio.